Today is our last message on time to stop spinning your wheels. And I'm going to go pretty fast. So let's get in gear right here. Our passage today we're going to look at comes 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 5. And I want you to know there's a lot of other passages, a lot of other things, but this is one the Holy Spirit just, bam, put right on me for today. So it's for us. It's already been for me. I hope it's going to be for you. So let's read it together. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Anybody here need prayer? Well, 2/3 of us raised our hand. Let me try it again. Anybody here need prayer? Okay, there we go. Now we're being more honest. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes. Just as when it came to you. Pray too, secondly, that we'll be rescued from wicked and evil people. For not everyone is a believer. Duh. But the Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Not just some generic evil out there, but from the evil one who's plotting and planning for our destruction. Verse 4, and we're confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we commanded you. So the faith, he's praying there, the faith is going to get into these. You understand me? You understand me? Not just this, and not just this intellectualizing, but it'll get into shoe leather, and it'll walk, it'll act in the world. Verse 5, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding, expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Wow, that's a sermon series right there. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you that you'll unveil the Scripture to us today. Speak to us through this today, Lord. Lord, you've already spoken to me a ton about it today. I'm asking you now that you'll allow that to flow through into this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you read the other part of 2 Thessalonians, you'll see that he talks about it's a lot of eschatology about last times and all, how things are coming to a conclusion. And let me say to you, if you're sitting in here today and you don't think that our world is headed for a climactic conclusion, that history is headed somewhere, then wake up and smell the coffee. It's happening around you. Start just reading the newspaper. Get on the internet. Read some news articles, secular news articles. There's secular people that are out there saying it is headed in a direction, and you can feel it. You can feel it all around it. He gets on the basis of that, and then he says, finally, I got these points to make. I want you to see that. This is how you ought to live. It's time to quit spinning our wheels. It's time to grow up. It's time to start being the body of Christ that he's called us to be. Right now, I feel his winnowing fork going through the body that throws the grain up in the air so that the chaff can be blown away. Because there's a lot of that happening right now in the body of Christ. A lot of that going on right now. He is going through the body to see who the real church is in Western culture right now. We are under a serious examination today of who we are. And it's not this old stuff. We can't just go back. We're not going back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, or 90s. No, we're not going. We can't go back. Things have changed in the world. On the basis of that, finally, he's asking them, pray for us. Brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray for us. Pray, number one, that the Lord's message will spread rapidly. You see, He's asking them to pray. How can he ask them to pray? Because he's asking them as people who know that it's not about them. Let me say to you, Jesus is saying to us in Western culture today, it's not about you. The world wasn't built around you and your agenda and my agenda. It's not about you. All the things that we counted, that we said, oh, it'll be this way, it'll be that. Calling into question a lot of those things right now. It's time for us not to be self-centered. Not to be self-absorbed. As he asked them to pray, as Paul is asking them to pray at Thessalonica, he's assumed that some growth has taken place, that they would actually be interested in doing what he asked them to do. You know, in a lot of ways, there are times when we want to grow up for all the privileges, but none of the responsibilities. Remember when you're 12 years old? Man, just wait till I can make my own decisions. Where I can decide every day. You remember that? Huh? Anybody today would like to be back there? Where somebody else made sure there was three squares on the table. You know, I honestly never thought whether or not my daddy had a job. You know, I got in the morning, I assumed bacon was going to be frying and fried eggs and hot tea. I just assumed that. Here's a question, though. He is inviting us, Jesus is inviting us to join the battle. He's not looking for a fat church, a lazy church. He's looking for a lean, mean, fighting machine in these days. One that's ready to go into battle. To battle with the things that are in the culture, they're in the world. We need to be ready. He mentions this word, the message. Pray that the message will go forth. The word literally there is the word logos. It's the word. Pray that the word, which is saying, the word is the message of Christ. It is his word. That it will go into the world. That means what he's asking them to do is to join him in praying for God's agenda to take place in the world and not his. Wouldn't that be a turnaround? When we stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about, well, God, and when he taught us to pray, remember what the Lord's model prayer said? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who's in charge of that? Thank you, Daniel. God. It's him. Pray that this message will grow rapidly. Do you want to see that happen? Let me ask you this right now. What will happen to Savannah, Georgia today if the Word of God, the message of Jesus, went forth in this entire city, and it was glorified, to use his word literally, that it was glorified, that message of Jesus, the cause of Christ was glorified in Savannah. What would happen in Savannah, Georgia? It'd be like it said in the book of Acts, you who have turned the world upside down have come to our place. I mean, the world would turn, Savannah would turn on its head. Do you believe that can happen? Now see, I'm not ready to throw in the towel, get my white sheet, get out on a hill somewhere, and wait for the Son of God to come and get me. I want him to find me busy in the kingdom. I want to see that last gathering in. I want to be part of that, that's happening in the earth, don't you? He's got a lot in store for us. We need to be a part of it. We need to be praying like that. Has the message of Christ affected you? Has it changed your life? Has He come personally and changed your life? Would you allow Him to change your life some more? See, the closer we get to Him, the more we can see the detail and look at Him and look at ourselves and see that we need Him. We need Him. And on the verse 2, he says, pray too that we'll be saved from wicked and evil people. Not everyone is a believer, are they? Not everyone believes in the Lord. And when he says that there, not everyone believes in the Lord, he's not talking about intellectual assent to something. That's not what he's talking about. The word there is the word pistuo, which means to put your faith, to throw your entire reliance upon, where you have cut your ties and you have given your life totally to Jesus. How many people that claim to be part of the church in America have done that? I don't know. But it's not all of them, is it? But this is what he's talking about. He's talking about selling out. You know, when the conquistadors arrived there, you know, in South America, remember what their commander did? He said, okay, boys, come out to the beach and watch. He put the torch to their ships, burned them to the spine. He said, now turn around and head into the jungle. You got it? That's why he's calling on us. With all that we have, that all that we are, and we who are the most blessed people that have ever lived on the face of this planet. Do you believe that? Amen. There's no culture that's ever been blessed with more than we have. The pharaohs of Egypt didn't have what we have. Imagine that. Alexander the Great didn't enjoy what any one of us enjoys today. Pray. You see, and we're in a battle with wickedness, with perversion, with evil people. If Jesus isn't Lord, who is? The world, the flesh, the devil. That unholy triumvirate. If Jesus isn't Lord, that's who's ruling things. So, how do people who are not under the lordship of Jesus act? They act like they're not under the lordship of Jesus. And in a society that is constantly removing any barriers to the behavior of people, of what they can do, in permissiveness that goes on. Verse 3. He says the Lord is faithful. He says the Lord is faithful. You can depend on God. That means you can throw your reliance upon Him. You can cast it all upon Him. I remember when I was 9 years old. My mother had taken us down to Florida, me and my little brother. And I guess he was 2 or 3 at the time. And we'd gone down to Florida. We'd gone to Silver Springs, gone someplace. And I begged my mom that we could stay at a motel that had a swimming pool. Man, I thought that was the biggest thing. We checked in that motel, saw that swimming pool. So she was on the edge of coming out of the room. Room's kind of surrounded the pool. And she let me get in the pool. My little brother, who's been a knucklehead all of his life, Aww. Thank you, Kenny. He gets away from her. And, yeah, imagine that. And he's running. And he's running to the pool. And he jumps into the deep end. It's 12 feet. And as he's jumping, he says, "Catch me, bub. I'm 9 years old." And my mother, she's in horror. Ha! He's going to drown. He's splashing around, and I had to fish him out. He threw himself on his trust in me as his brother. Not a very good trust, mind you, at that time. You see? But you can depend on Jesus because he's faithful. You don't have to stay stuck where you are. Tie on, man. Let him pull you out of the muck and the mud and all the garbage and junk, whatever it is that's going on in your life, the problems that are going on, he'll take you out of it. Because we learned at our early service today, he wants us to have freedom. Hope somebody would say it. Okay. Is the evil one out for us, according to verse 3? And guard you from the evil one. Let me tell you how the devil looks at you and I. And that's not the cross. The crosshairs. Have you ever wondered why some of the stuff just happens to happen at the time it happens in your life? It's not a coincidence. He's out for your destruction, too. What does the scripture say about him? He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's right. That's right. He's a roaring lion, going out seeking whom he may devour. Verse 4. He says there, "We're confident in the Lord that you have Nike theology. Just do it. We're confident in the Lord that you're practicing the stuff." Listen to me, some of you that have been Christians for a long time. I'm speaking to some of you that have known the Lord for years, for decades. The people that came after you, who are babes in Christ, some of them today, they're counting on you. They're counting on you for an example. They're counting on you for support. They're depending on you. Let me speak to you men here. Come man to man. Wouldn't say it just how I'd say it if we were alone. I'm not kidding either. This isn't how I'd say it. But I want you to know, it's time to start being a man. Being a man of God. Standing up, doing what's right. Doing what's right for your family. Not just rolling over for whatever comes and with resignation saying, "Oh, you know, it's going to happen." No. God wants you to be a warrior. A real man. A man who's committed to him. Who's committed to doing it. And he says, "And that you always will." So he's talking about diligence. Staying at it. You know, here's another malady of church in America. We get bored. And in a lackadaisical fashion, we'll say, "Oh, that didn't bless me." What? Like we're to be entertained. Or that it's about us. It's never been about us. Never been. interview some of our brothers and sisters that live in third world countries today where their lives are on the line for their faith every day. Read their stories. And do you hear any of this convenience talk? Do you hear it? Well, that just didn't bless me today. Of course you don't. Because they mean business with God. Finally, says, and may the Lord bring you into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God. You see here? What he led with is what he comes back to. Because when you go deeper with God, it doesn't mean you become cranky, judgmental, and legalistic, does it? You know, some of the people that as a child was pointed to me as, oh, they're deep with the Lord. And I'm thinking, well, man, he's never given me time of day. Deep with the Lord? Now, it's not what would Jesus do if he were here? No, that's an improper question. What is Jesus doing because he is here? And he is here. He'll deepen us in love. That doesn't mean we compromise our convictions. You know, as I walked in the Savannah Care Center, and I saw that crowd of men standing out in front of the mosque, I prayed for their salvation. I prayed that they would come to the light of the truth of the Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. They would come to Him through His love. And finally says, and that your endurance, that you'll have a deepening understanding of the endurance that comes from Christ. He'll give you the power to take the next step. And in an economy like we have it right now, 10.2, unemployment that we know about. A weak dollar. there are military fires going all over the world. Our country prosecuting two wars in a time like this. We need to endure in the faith. We need to take the next step. Not because I feel like it. You're not always going to feel like it, are you? Some days you don't feel like it. But that doesn't mean you're not called to do the right thing. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. Time to stop spinning our wheels and take the next step. Here's just one of my beliefs. I believe the Lord is raising up a church, a pure church, today in the world, and readying us for all the things that have already begun to happen, and readying us, preparing us as His bride. And with great joy. And nothing in that book ever said, in fact, how many times does it say, with great joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not with your head buried down, and, you know, not going up to people and saying, you know, you're going to hell. You know, that kind of stuff. You know what? For most people, you don't have to tell them that. They already know that. Don't they? They need to know about it. They need Jesus. Jesus. And the best advertisement for Jesus in the world It's me and you. Because after all, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be the vessel of Jesus. So much so that when people look at us, they can look right through us and see Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Has God spoken to you today? We're about to open the altar. Number one, if you've never received Jesus in your life, I realize today I've spoken to the church. But if you've never received Jesus in your life, I want you to know that the Son of God stepped out of heaven into this world. He became flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross in our place. And he rose on the third day. He then ascended to the right hand of the Father, sat down with his work finished, and he invites everyone who will have faith and trust in him and give their lives to him. He invites them to come to him, and he'll give you life. We can be with him forever. If you want to do that today, you can do that. Invite him into your life. We'd sure like to know about it. Come, let us know. We'll be here to receive you today. We got people standing up who are leaders of our life groups who are willing to pray with you. This altar is open for you to pray. This is your time. Your time. God's pricked your heart, you come. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you that your word is clear and plain. That there's power in the Logos, the Word of God. I thank you for that. Thank you today, Lord, that you're reaping a harvest in the world. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. Lord, today, we're not asking you to come bless what we're doing. Lord, we're asking you to bring our hearts in obedience to you so we can start doing what you're blessing today. God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in this place. Lord, I'm praying for people who need healing. People need the power of God, who are struggling with sin, who are struggling with their jobs today. We're praying for God's power to be upon their lives today. Lord, we heard a testimony last week of a healing, of God just striking cancer out of a body. And I thank you for that today, and I bless you. Lord, we come to you with open arms and open hearts. Come, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. The altar's up. We send you out in the name of Jesus Christ, under the authority of God the Father, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.